Let us remain standing for our scripture reading, which comes from the book of Psalms, and reading there from Psalm 36. Psalm 36, reading from verse 7 through to verse 10. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. And thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light shall we see light. O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. We have read here that how excellent is God's loving kindness, and it brings us to this particular scripture reading that we have been reading here, brings us to verse 9, where it says, with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. Those words are a very important introduction to this hour of meditation, this closing moment of our conference here. The divine remedy is found alone in the Lord. In him is the fountain of life. He is the fountain of all life. And as we have been contemplating him here at this conference, we have experienced the very concept of in thy light shall we see light. Sister White writes in The Faith I Live By, page 164, all created beings live by the will and power of God. They are dependent recipients of the life of God. From the highest seraph to the humblest animate being, all are replenished from the source of life. He is the fountain. He is the one who is constantly, and it's so imperative that while we read this, we tap into this reality that my life, my existence, even on this sin-struck planet with all of its sufferings, our life is continually being replenished by that source, that fountain of life. And to appreciate the living reality of this, I want to make a point here that I will just substantiate from the spirit of prophecy once again, that this fountain of life, this replenishment from the source of life, it doesn't come as a magic miracle. It doesn't just come from nothing. I read it again from page 165 now of Faith I Live By. It says, the natural life is preserved moment by moment by divine power. Yet it is not sustained by a direct miracle, but through the use of blessings placed within our reach. Oh, to take this in to understand what this is saying. We think God is going to do a miracle in keeping me alive all the time, in giving me healing, in giving me restoration. It is not through the channel of any particular miracle. It is, as we read it there, it is sustained not by a direct miracle, but through the use of blessings placed within our reach. We are to reach out for it, and as we exercise ourselves in those channels by which He will give us life, as we reach out for that, then it will come to us. And I repeat it there on page 164. Page 164. I'm reading there from Faith I Live By. It is His life that we receive. It is His life that we receive in the sunshine, in the pure, sweet air, in the food which builds up our bodies and sustains our strength. So it's not a miracle. God has surrounded us with His life-giving contributions, the sunshine, the pure, sweet air, the food which builds up our bodies. That's where the fountain of life from God comes to us. Oh, to understand this. These are the nutritional ingredients of God's love, which are provided for us also in His Word. For you to and I to receive the fountain of life, it is found in occupying ourselves with the Word. So the sunshine, the food we eat, the air we breathe, the Word of God we read, this is where the fountain of life is pouring into us. We are to understand well that this life that comes to us can be severed by sin. So that life that flows from God through these different natural agencies is actually, by our choice of sin, severed and diminished. We come to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And there we read from verse 29. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. The things that give us life from the fountain of life, men pick up and manipulate by their own inventions. And can you see here, if God is pouring His life and His health to us through His agencies, and man manipulates them, can you see what actually happens here? Sin, by its inventions, derived in the minds of a fallen person, can actually obliterate the fountain of life flowing from these agencies to us. And we've covered all this in the previous studies. We manipulate God's nutritions. Man does. And he contorts what God has given to us as life into unhealthy processes, so that God's life can't flow to us. So by not living by every word that proceeds from God, but putting our own inventions to it, the pure flowing of God's life is being impinged. It's being altered. So that instead of a blessing coming, sometimes there's a curse that comes through the very agency through which he works. And that's what we saw in Genesis 2, verse 15 to 17, when Adam and Eve didn't listen to God when he said, "The day you eat of that fruit, you shall surely die." And what the original language there is, "Dying you shall die." And we all understand, don't we, the sore mental, physical, and spiritual existence that we are living on this planet because of that. We understand it well. And as we go through this traumatic experience because of sin, God's great heart of love expresses itself. For God so loved this poor world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus was the Lamb slain from the beginning of from the foundation of the earth. God knew what Adam and Eve would do, and he was already ready for it. As soon as it happened, the healing fountain of life was reinstated after man had broken the connection through Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is not only the bread of life to us, he is not only the feeding agency of heaven to us, but he is the remedy of the terrible effect that sin has upon us. And I love this quote, Bible Commentary, Volume 6, page 1074. The atonement of Christ, that to all who of us that have studied this subject well, the atonement of Christ, Jesus becoming at one with us, being made to be sin with us, suffering with us here on this planet. The atonement of Christ is not a mere skillful way to have our sins pardoned. It is a divine remedy for the cure of transgression and the restoration of spiritual health. This is our subject in the closing of this conference, the divine remedy. Jesus, the atonement of Jesus, is the divine remedy for the cure of transgression and the restoration of spiritual health. That's what we have read in Malachi 4, verse 2. The Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. And we read it a few times in Psalm 103, but we will read it again, because repetition is so important to drink in these powerful meditations. Psalm 103, verse 1 to 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Forget it not. Repeat it again and again. That's why I'm reading it. That's why we're pursuing this meditation at this conference, the gospel of health, the continual flow of from the fountain of life to us, which sin has marred and broken by its own inventions, and the Lord Jesus comes in between as this wonderful bridge that bridges us from this sin-struck condition to the life energy from God. Jesus is the bread of life through which the fountain of life flows to us. Jesus is the remedy to cure our sin, our transgression, and restore our spiritual and physical health. Therefore, when Jesus came to this earth, let us turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. There we read of what he did in coming to this earth and intervening in the lives of the people who were claiming to be his people. Matthew chapter 4, 23 and 24. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Jesus came to make connection with sinners to the fountain of life. He came and touched and healed them. He healed them from all the consequences of their sins, but forgave their sins in the process. We will touch on that very soon. But here from Counsels on Health, page 526, I read there from paragraph 1. In the days of Christ, there were no sanitariums in the Holy Land. And that's an important little statement here, because we've already touched it before, that God has given us the healing agencies to be used in the restoring of health through the sanitariums that Sister White had been instructed for the people to raise. But there were no sanitariums there. Wherever the great physician went, he carried with him the healing efficacy that was a cure for every disease, spiritual and physical. This he imparted to those who were under the afflicting power of the enemy. In every city, every town, every village through which he passed, the solicitude of a loving father, I've missed that little word, with the solicitude of a loving father, he laid his hands upon the afflicted ones, making them whole and speaking words of tenderest sympathy and compassion. How precious then to them were his words. From him flowed a stream of healing power which made the sick whole. He healed men and women with unhesitating willingness and with hearty joyfulness, for he was glad to be able to restore suffering ones to health. Here he demonstrated to us the fountain of life, that God is. He came to demonstrate it by doing the miracles of healing. And as Sister White says, there was no other way because they had no sanitariums there to do this work. Jesus came to deal with the inventions of humanity and bringing back to God the pure remedial fountain of life by demonstrating it in his healing presence. And it is this same healing work that Jesus bequeathed to his church. We read that already in the past, and I bring it back now into focus in Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. That what he had bequeathed to his church, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Just as Jesus did, he bequeathed this life-giving remedy to the church to heal the sick. There I want to further enlarge it in Desire of Ages, page 821. Desire of Ages, 821, paragraph 4. The disciples were to have the same power which Jesus had to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people, by healing in his name the diseases of the body. They would testify to his power for the healing of the soul. And a new endowment was now promised. The disciples were to preach among other nations, and they would receive power to speak other tongues. The apostles and their associates were unlettered men, yet through the outpouring of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, their speech, whether in their own or foreign language, became pure, simple, accurate, both in word and in accent. So the disciples were to have the same power which Jesus had, and to communicate to the world around them the healing stream of the fountain of life, which was to pour from them to the people, as it poured from the Father through Jesus to us. And it's from this that the counsel, when anybody is sick, James chapter 5 is given. James chapter 5. And reading there from verse 14 to 16. Because God had bequeathed, Jesus had bequeathed this life-healing fountain to his church. It says, is any sick among you? Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The divine remedy was flowing from the Father to this world through his Son, Jesus Christ. He demonstrated it in his healing work, and then he bequeathed it to his church, and the church was to do what is written here. If any sick among you, the elders of the church should lay hands upon him, should pray, and then they would be healed. And the healing was not just physical healing, it was the healing of the soul from sin. This is God's gentle healing art. No violent bodily intervention. The gentleness of the flowing of the healing stream from the fountain of life. We read it there beautifully expressed in Desire of Ages, page 270. Desire of Ages, page 270, there in paragraph 1. The paralytic. This is the paralytic that was let down from the roof. The paralytic found in Christ. He found in Christ healing for both soul and the body. The spiritual healing was followed by physical restoration. As we look at these events, they are all lessons for us. And Sister White put it so neatly there. First, there was a spiritual healing, which was followed by physical restoration. This lesson should not be overlooked. There are today thousands suffering from physical disease who, like the paralytic, are longing for the message, thy sins are forgiven. The burden of sin with its unrest and unsatisfied desires is the foundation of their maladies. What is the foundation of their diseases? The unrest and the burdens, unsatisfied desires, the burden of sin. This is the foundation of our sicknesses. They can find no relief until they come to the healer of the soul. The peace which he alone can give would impart vigor to the mind and health to the body. The gospel of health. It comes through the process first of the spiritual recovery from sin. And here is one of the reasons why God doesn't always heal people just for the sake of healing. He first of all wants to help them to recover from sin. And if they cling to their sin, he can't heal them. First comes a faith in God to forgive me for my sins. Then it is followed by the healing of the body. And so there, this work that Jesus did, which he bequeathed to the church, and they were laying hands, and his people even just came up behind the apostles to be in their shadow, and they were healed. Because they understood the work of the beautiful gospel that was working through the apostles. But I hear someone say today, why don't we see this today? Why don't we see this today? As it was there. You remember I have handled this already. And here it is again, just for repetition to understand that when this thought comes upon you, why isn't this happening now? Why not? That, you know, as it says there in James, call the elders and the elders will lay their hands upon you, pray for you, and you're going to be healed. Does that happen every time? When I look back at the experience of Sister White, she received wonderful answers to prayer and she recovered. And her children died, even though they prayed for them. This is the confusion that some people have, that they want this concept that Jesus will heal everybody like he did back there. He did so because he was trying to teach something. These people that were healed finally crucified him, many of them. So it was a lesson he was teaching us, that the fountain of life he wanted the people to receive and to learn. And he is teaching us in these last days to learn all this rather than be disappointed that I'm not getting the same thing, that the beautiful healing agency of God happens by miracles. Why not? Why not? Well, don't we see this in the Pentecostal churches of today? There's these miracles happening, but they're not Sabbath keepers. They're not teaching the truth. And yet they're healing. What's that? And there it is, which we touched on, and I repeat now, in Selected Messages, Volume 2, page 54. Why not now? The way in which Christ worked was to preach the word and to relieve suffering by miraculous works of healing. But I am instructed that we cannot now work in this way, because Satan will exercise his power by working miracles. God's servants today could not work by means of miracles because spurious works of healing, claiming to be divine, will be wrought. So today we have to work in such a way because Satan in these last days has twisted everything up. And so here is the counsel now. For this reason, the Lord has marked out a way in which his people are to carry forward a work of physical healing combined with the teaching of the word. Sanitariums are to be established, and with these institutions are to be connected workers who will carry forward genuine medical missionary work. Thus, a guarding influence is thrown around those who come to the sanitarium for treatment. This is the provision the Lord has made, whereby the gospel medical missionary work is to be done for many souls. And you recall how I introduced this message here, that the healing and nutritious communications of life from the fountain of life does not come by some miracle thing. It comes through the agencies that God gives for us to take hold of. And then his healing comes through them. The sunshine, the food we eat, the word of God we study. This is where the life-giving energies come to us from God. And to teach us that, Jesus came and healed miraculously. But now we're living in a time that Satan has twisted this all up, and we are not to rely on that. We are to rely on the life-giving energies and the healing properties that God works through the agencies of nature. That's what we've been studying all the way through the camp here too. It is God who is in his presence with us, communicating through these agencies the healing and the remedy from sin and disease. So it is still the Lord healing, but not through the method of miracles today, because Satan has twisted these miracles up by his sophisticated way, as it says, that he will come and deceive so that even the very elect could be deceived. We've got it. This is the problem we're living in today. So the Lord is still healing through his channels, but not through a miracle of laying out of hands, but through the beautiful channel of his agencies of communication, of healing and life. Let's read it here from Testimony Volume 5, page 443, in paragraph 1. Here it is. There are many ways of practicing the healing art, but there is only one way that heaven approves. God's remedies are the simple agencies of nature that will not tax or debilitate the system through their powerful properties. Now pick it up very carefully here. The healing art of God comes through agencies of nature which will not tax or debilitate the system. Pure air and water, cleanliness, a proper diet, purity of life, and a firm trust in God are remedies for the want of which thousands are dying. Yet these remedies are going out of date because their skillful use requires that the people do not appreciate. Their skillful use requires work that the people do not appreciate. Fresh air, exercise, pure water, and clean, sweet premises are within the reach of all with but little expense. But drugs are expensive, both in the outlay of means and in the effect produced upon the system. If you are taking these words in very, very carefully, you are discerning here that these gentle agencies of God's provision, skillfully used, are that which will bring life and restoration from God. And if we're looking for miracles, especially today, we will be disappointed. Because the miracle of God's life-giving energy comes through those things that are surrounding us and correctly using them, correctly and following obediently God's counsel in reference to them. And that's what we read there, didn't we? In the very beginning, that all created beings live by the will and power of God. They are dependent recipients of the life of God. God is imparting all this, replenishing their life, but not through miracle. The natural life is preserved moment by divine power. Yet it is not sustained by a direct miracle, but through the use of blessings placed within our reach. The use of blessings placed within our reach. It is His life that we receive. It is His life that we receive in the sunshine, in the pure sweet air, in the food which builds up our bodies and sustains our strength. And so as we are today, it's surrounded by these miracles that are not from God, but from Satan. God has to work to help us through these agencies in God's way. And as we just read, a healing art that is only acceptable by God is through this agency, not through the other healing arts that surround us today. And I just want us to really appreciate this. Remember what it said there? The skillful use. The skillful use of water is still the most efficient cleanser and detoxifier. Have you heard of all these detoxification programs? Detoxifications that place the body under healing crises. And the person goes through all sorts of contortions of recovery and sometimes in danger of death, because healing crises can end up in death. So when you detoxify, God wants us to detoxify gently. Through the best way is the skillful use of water. The nutritious diet is still the best medicine. In the science of allopathy, in the science of naturopathy of today, in the science of all kinds of healing arts, there is a science called the science of nutrition. And people won't study that as much as all these other ones, because they want what? They want the miracle of immediate recovery. They're not prepared to go through a slow process of God's way, which is restorative. He comes upon us as the Son of Righteousness. So that's why these words, which came from the very physician through which the physicians of today claim they get their direction. He said, let your food be your medicine and your medicine your food. Because God works through that. And the laying on of hands, which we expect then that's what Jesus did and the people were restored immediately. The laying on of hands in gentle, unobtrusive massage can still bring the soothing, healing and balm upon knotty tissues and the poisons in the muscle system. The irritated nerves, the laying on of hands, the touch of healing. Never forget the days when I was massaging being trained in massage. And as I was trained and I was working upon the person who was training us, he said, you have healing hands. He felt it. And he wanted me to take his position when he retired from his position. But of course, the Seventh-day Adventists didn't want to accept the reformer. And today, that hospital doesn't have the massage treatment area anymore. It's gone. All allopathic. So all this is gentle, non-invasive, a skill that carefully deals with the encapsulated poisons in the body, that doesn't throw the body into the sudden expulsion of all these poisons all at once. Because if they are suddenly released in the body, you go through contortions, what is called a healing crisis. There is no major healing crisis in God's methods. There is a method in some naturopathic health centers that brings on deliberately a healing crisis. And this kind of treatment is of the same character of the allopathic medicine that brings the body into a reaction by force. And people think this is natural. They are deliberately doing something that puts the body under stress unnecessarily. The Lord wants us to recover gently and slowly. This is His way. I read it here from Councils on Diet and Foods. And it's on page, in this particular rendition, it's page 302. In the other one, it's 301. So it's 302 or 301, paragraph 3 and 4. It says, pure air, sunlight, abstemiousness, rest, exercise, proper diet, the use of water, and trust in divine power, these are the true remedies. Every person should have a knowledge of nature's remedial agencies and how to apply them. It is essential both to understand the principles involved in the treatment of the sick and to have a practical training that will enable one rightly to use this knowledge. How important this is. Rightly use this knowledge. You can have the knowledge of this and you can wrongly use it. And that's why some people don't like what I'm preaching. Because they believe strongly in some of these naturopathic ways, which are not exactly the way God wants us to use them. And in paragraph 4, it goes on to say, the use of natural remedies requires an amount of care and effort that many are not willing to give. Nature's process of healing and upbuilding is what? Listen carefully here. It is not abrupt. It is not leading to a healing crisis. It is, and I repeat, nature's process of healing and upbuilding is gradual. And to the impatient, it seems slow. The surrender of hurtful indulgences requires sacrifice. But in the end, it will be found that nature, untrammeled, does her work wisely and well. Those who persevere in obedience to her laws will reap the reward in health of body and health of mind. You see, I have read here from God's word, which is something contrary to even what the naturopaths do in the world today. And I make no apologies to name this department, that a lot of things they do are from God. A lot of things they do is not from God, because they have manipulated into forceful procedures, highly concentrated situations, which is not God's way. If we want to be healed, we are to be healed by this process of the fountain of life going gently into our system and restoring slowly. And I heard a testimony just recently. I was impatient, so I wanted a quick resolution. And then there's suffering afterwards. Don't be impatient with God's way of remedy. Satan is still counterfeiting God's pure methods. Counsels on Diet and Foods, page 303, paragraph 4 and 5. The light given me, Sister White says, the light given me was that a sanitarium should be established, and the important thing is not so much the establishment of the sanitarium now, it is this, that in it drug medication should be discarded and simple rational methods of treatment employed for the healing of disease. In this institution, people were to be taught how to dress, how to breathe, how to eat properly, how to prevent sickness by proper habits of living. In our sanitariums, we advocate the use of simple remedies. We discourage the use of drugs, for they poison the current of the blood. In these institutions, sensible instruction should be given how to eat, how to drink, how to dress, and how to live, so that the health may be preserved. And as I have concentrated so heavily on these statements, I just want to place a little balance here, that if because of our health condition we come to a crisis and we might die, it is not wrong to use a life-saving allopathic sustenance or overcoming to save out of that state of ready to die. If a person has a heart attack and he could die of it, there are allopathic medicines that can temporarily stop the person from dying. And that's quite in order. But once you have been stopped from dying, then you've got to go back to the natural way of recovery. That's just one example. The medications that come from the world, from allopathy, from the medicines of today, they are sometimes natural agencies that are concentrated to deal with a particular thing to save a life. It's what I call emergency medicine. But it is not a healing medicine. It is just to save the life. And we mustn't hold so fanatically to say, I will have nothing to do with that at all when it comes to save a life. So I've just put a caveat on this, that what we have been studying here is God's method of healing. But there is a way that God's agencies can be used to save the drastic result of a disease, to save a person from dying. And that's also in place. So it is disease that is rampant around us, that ought not to frighten us, if something happens to you that might frighten you, it's so life-threatening. Remember, God is love. And His art of healing is sure. He has promised, if you will do diligently my commandments and my statutes and my laws, I will lay none of these diseases upon you. I am the Lord that healeth thee. He is the one, and if He chooses to heal you, He will heal you. If He chooses to lay you to rest, accept it. Accept it. It's His work. May God help us to come away from this conference with a deep sense of God as the source of our life, our health, and as a consequence, as our teacher and as our guide, to listen to Him and to follow His directions. Thank God that He has given us Jesus Christ, so that even if we must die, we will just be asleep. His life-giving energies will continue to work through us and resurrect us again to a new life in eternity. The gospel of health. That has been our consideration, and let us now come away from this and keep it in our minds. Don't lose it. We need it every minute of the day.